When the federal government announced a royal commission into the way institutions across Australia have responded to complaints of child sex abuse, the Catholic Church responded by setting up a Truth, Justice and Healing Council. Its purpose was to allow the church to speak with one voice before the royal commission, and to quote from the council's website, it was seen as imperative to address the past openly and honestly, the good with the bad. Today, Francis Sullivan, the CEO of the Truth, Justice and Healing Council, is in Perth, and he's joined me in the studio this afternoon. We've looked at the broad purpose, but what particularly, Francis, is your purpose in being in Perth today?
Well, good afternoon. Today I address all the priests of the Archdiocese of Perth. Previously I've done that with the priests of Bunbury, and I'm doing that across the country with various groupings to explain to them what it really means for the church to embrace openly and honestly with the Royal Commission, and what they can do in their parishes and their communities to encourage, firstly, people to tell their story, which is the most important part of this Royal Commission.
And what does it mean? What does it mean? What are you telling them?
Well, in the first instance, it's time for the adults to come out. I mean, this is time for people to talk about what's happened. Mm. I mean, I think we all know that sex abuse, unfortunately, is clouded in silence. And I think organisations and institutions keep information away from their members about how they've handled things. Sometimes they don't want people to know how badly they've handled things.
Mm.
And the Catholic Church's history is confronting.
Mm. There has been a lot of... I think that's probably a kind way to say it.
Well, it is shameful and shocking in part. And also we know, the community more broadly doesn't, that at least for the last 20 years there's been a much more professional approach in dealing with allegations and in dealing with people who rightfully have been damaged.
And this is a difficult situation, I would imagine, to have these kind of truthful and honest conversations that must take place, because I suppose when at least part of your organisation has been the instigator and the history has been so shameful, there's an enormous trust issue that has been broken, and to encourage people to discuss it and feel that they can get that trust back, I imagine that is a massive hurdle.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, even for myself, I'm a practicing Catholic, and when I was asked to do this job, the first answer was no, because I was angry and disillusioned, disenchanted with what I understood to be the way it has been handled in the Catholic Church, and I'm not alone there. I think the majority of Catholics really feel disenchanted, if not angry, and dismayed with the past. They want to know that the church leadership, and that means bishops and religious leaders, are dinkum about letting the truth come out, and are dinkum about putting in place and building on the processes they have now to make sure that this never happens again.
And what made you change your mind? What made you go from that position of anger to basically being prepared to put your face on the new direction that the Catholic Church wants to go in?
Well, I know that the Catholic Church does a lot of great things in the hospitals and the welfare services and the schools. I mean, I think generally speaking, there's a good reputation for those services. And I've spent a lot of my life involved in that way. And the people, the really dinkum and good people that work in there, you know, they're demoralised, because to be identified with this past hurts. And it's really important that the good work the church does do for ordinary people in the community, Catholic or not, continues. And we don't want this shadow, this heavy shadow and dark history, to undermine that and to undermine the capacity to do it in the future. So ultimately, that's what motivates me.
And that's a really interesting aspect of it, I think. If you've just tuned into Afternoons at 17 minutes to 2, Francis Sullivan is the CEO of the Truth, Justice and Healing Council. This is part of the Catholic Church's response to the Royal Commission into the way institutions across Australia have responded to complaints of child sex abuse. This is one of the interesting aspects of it, and rightly, I think the victims have been put at the forefront of most of the conversations that we've had. But as you say, let's have a little bit of that conversation. Now, there are priests, there are Catholic priests who are within the organisation that are beautiful people who do fantastic work. I can't imagine what they must feel inside themselves being associated with such a disgraceful, shameful history, as you say. What are you hearing there?
Oh, they're demoralised. I mean, you're dead right. I mean, why wouldn't they be? I mean, people who have committed their lives to a cause, one that they feel deeply and want to relate with other people on that level, have had colleagues that have broken the trust and therefore the credibility, but also the image of what it means to be a priest or a religious in today's society. Mm. I mean, I tell people, you know, I had a previous job when I was the Secretary General of the AMA, and I got into a cab and they used to say, "What do you do?" And I happily said what I do. Now I get into a cab and I toss it up. Do I say what I want to do or what? Because at the end of the day, being associated with that past hurts. Mm. But it is important, Jill, to know, and this is what I have found, that people are sticking to it. You know, there are a lot of committed people, priests and religious, who are there for a very clear, pure purpose. And these are the people that I'm talking to, and we're looking at ways in which we can allow the community, our own community and the broader community, to talk about these things. Because it'll only start real healing when you talk about things. Mm. And also, people who are victims don't want to feel isolated. They might want to one day make an approach back to the church. No one's asking them to, just simply saying that they shouldn't feel isolated because of this experience. And when I talk to victims groups, and to individuals, they'll say a number of things. One is they always want to be believed, and sometimes they wonder if they are.
Mm.
Some of them live with a residue of guilt, which is shocking. And a lot of them say they feel isolated, even though they've approached organisations like the church, even though there may have been settlements, they still feel set apart. And for a church to have people feeling set apart is shameful.
And that is again, one of the great dichotomies and disgraces, yes, I suppose, of this. But when, for people of faith, that the Catholic Church stands between them and their God and their faith, and then they've got to go through this layer of trauma on top of that, it's a dreadful position to be in. And it seems to be an incredibly complex position to, even with conversation, find a path out of that. But as you say, for people with faith, you must do that.
Yeah, I mean, the church, at least since the 1990s, has put in place a much more pastoral approach. And I think shifting away from the pure legal approach to the pastoral approach is a positive.
Mm.
But, you know, as always, these are complex issues. And when people get involved and having to try and work out the best way to do anything, there is going to be success, but there'll also be failure. And the really important point, though, is that governments don't call royal commissions lightly. This is a social issue, a political issue as well, and it needs to be encouraged from everybody, including the Catholic Church, that people that want to tell their story come forward and tell that story.
And you said just a little while ago, you know, you were reluctant to take on this role because of your anger towards this aspect of the Catholic Church's work. How important is it to you personally that the Catholic Church is completely upfront and cooperative with this Royal Commission?
100%. I mean, I wasn't taking the job to defend the indefensible, and I haven't taken the job as if we're some spin machine. We're about facilitating a whole open embrace with the Royal Commission, complying with what the Royal Commission needs vis-a-vis, you know, documents and the like, getting things organised in a timely way, cooperating as best we can. The Catholic Church is a big outfit.
Yeah.
And it's got lots of aspects to it. But all of those aspects are on song on this one. Bishops, religious leaders, the lot. They realise that this is the opportunity for the truth to come out, and also for the church, when it's appropriate, to tell its story.
And what about, I mean, what reaction are you getting? You've been in Perth today. You are going to regional Australia. You're going right around Australia, and part of your job, at least in this trip, is to talk to the priests. What sort of response are you getting?
Well, you know, I said to my wife last night after I did a talk in Brisbane yesterday with 250 people, and there's about 250 there today, you hear a pin drop. Now, that's a bit amazing, you know, for men all in a room, average age well over 50, for a pin drop. It tells me that they're intensely engaged. Mm. The feedback that I get from individuals is very positive. I mean, as you said earlier, you know, people who have committed their lives to the church don't want to have the rest of their life identified in this way. They want what they believe is the treasure that they want to communicate to people to be the source of what they do.
You have a big job on your hands, and I wish you all the best of it. And I so appreciate you coming in and talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.